First Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Bible says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father, we thank you again for the privilege we have to come to your house. Thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for this great Bible that you've given us, Lord. And God, I pray that you'll help us to never take it for granted that we have the very words of God. Lord, I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit this evening. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. Lord, I pray that you'll give us receptive hearts to the word of God and to the preaching. Lord, I pray that you would be with those downstairs again. Be with Brother Melvin as he stands before the kids. Lord, if there's one lost among us tonight or under the sound of our voices going by way of webcast, Lord, I pray that you'll open their heart to the gospel. We thank you again for those that you saved there in Texas, Lord, and many others, Lord, probably through this week, Lord, around this globe. Lord, bless our missionaries. We thank you for the opportunity to be involved in missions now, Lord, and being able to send the word of God out to different places, Lord. And I just pray that you will get more involved and we'll see great things through the mission program of this church. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach just a little bit this evening, Lord be my helper, on this passage of Scripture here in chapter 1. If you've got a Scofield Bible, you'll see the heading there that Scofield put in there, the model church and the three tenses of the Christian life. And I want to preach just a little bit, talk to you about the kind of church that Paul left at Thessalonica. We know that Thessalonica was a very wicked city. And we know that if you found a map then of that city, it's the modern city of Salonika. The site of Thessalonica. It was originally named Therma from the hot springs in the air, but 300 years before Christ, Cassander, king of Macedonia, renamed it in honor of the sister of Alexander the Great. It was a free city with its own government, and it was also the capital city of Macedonia. Thessalonica stood on the important Ignatian Way, or the highway that was Rome's greatest highway there. So it was a well-known place, and we find the Apostle Paul here as he comes to Thessalonica, and we know that the record of this church where it was started is found over in the book of Acts chapter 17. If you'll turn over there, we'll read just a little bit there, and then we'll get into the message this evening. Find out a little bit about this place. Debbie told me one time, said, you got a lot of messages on churches. And I guess I do have a lot of messages that I preach about the church and people that's involved in the church in the New Testament. That's what it's about. It's about the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly. And can I say that God is still calling out people today and putting them in the body of Christ that makes up local churches. And I believe everyone that's saved should be baptized, and I believe that they should belong to a local, visible church where they can be active, where they can support, where they can help with missions, where they can get the growth and the spiritual needs that they have. We know that Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. He said over there in another place, upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside as the Lord has prospered. So this New Testament, most of it, especially the epistles of Paul, is about the church of the living God, the church which Christ loved and gave himself for it. So we see here in chapter 17, and we may have looked at some of this in other messages. I know we preached about Paul a little bit the other Wednesday night, and just some of the things about Paul, his companions, those that he was with, and we'll comment a little bit more about that in a minute. But it says in chapter 17, book of Acts, verse 1, said, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So we see here that Paul, after he left Philippi, he traveled 33 miles there to Amphipolis, and then another 28 miles further, he came to Apollonia. And then 40 miles further, he traveled, he came to Thessalonica here, and where was a synagogue of Jews. So Paul was looking always for the opportunity. He said over there in Romans chapter 1, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we find Paul in a lot of the places where he goes. What did he look for? He looked for them synagogues. He looked for churches at that time, that Jewish church, that where they would go to worship, and he looked for those synagogues. What better place to go to try to win people that's worshiping in the old ways? Since Christ had died, there's a new way, and Paul's trying to reach those people, so he would go to the Jew first. So here we find him. He's traveled several miles, and he gets to the place of Thessalonica, and said in Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. And I'm going to tell you, these people, they were steeped in what they believed. I mean, they thought they were worshiping the right way. I mean, this had always been the way of worship that they had known, they had been taught. And so we find Paul, he was trying to, as his manner was, he wanted to get these people converted. He wanted to get them in the way, the new way that Jesus, since Jesus had died and shed his blood, he wanted them worshiping right. First of all, he wanted them to get saved. He wanted them to know that Jesus has died, was buried, and was resurrected again the third day, and that by simple faith that they can trust Jesus, not through rituals, not through the slaying of animals, not through all these sacraments, things that they were doing at that time, these worshiping, but those things were types and shadows. But the reality had come. The Lamb of God had come to take away the sins of the world, and Paul would go into these synagogues and he would reason with these people. And I'm sure after we left here Sunday night, we went over to this Shoney's on the go, and we carried the preacher over there and had a meal there. But as soon as we got there, the young man that was at the cash register, Brother Hill, he began to witness to him, talk to him. Come find out this young man was a Latter-day Saint, I believe. He was a Mormon. And so the young man was well-versed in what he was believing in, what he was trusting in, but the system of that they believe in is a system of works where they're adding something to salvation other than the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, other than faith and believing that Jesus died was written. Now, they believe all that, but they still believe that you have to be baptized, you have to go through and do these rituals, and these young men to be prophets or whatever it is, sometimes you'll see them riding bicycles up and down the road with a white shirt and tie on, and they go out and they on that mission before they can reach certain stature in their organization. And so we find here that Paul, though, he had the good news. He had the gospel, the good news that they didn't have to worship that way no more. They didn't have to slaughter animals anymore, but that they could believe and trust and place their faith in the finished work of Calvary, and Paul would go in and reason with them. That was his manner. That ought to be our manner, is trying to win people to Jesus today. Wherever we go, we ought to have a word for the Lord Jesus Christ to tell someone. We ought to have a tract to give someone. with a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, Brother Bear, I love Brother Bear. He loves souls, man. I'm telling you, he's always looking for the opportunity to witness to someone. You know, if we'd get really burdened about people's soul and their condition, where they're going to spend eternity, I believe that we would be looking for the opportunity. I believe that our conversations would turn toward Jesus more than the way we come in. A lot of times we come into church, our conversation is on something else. Most of the time when we come through the doors, if you'll check it out, we're talking about something that we're going to do, something that we've done. And that's okay to talk about those things, but I'm going to tell you, our mind ought to be on Jesus every once in a while. Hey, when we come into the door of the church house, we ought to be talking about how good God's been to us this week. Where a person may, wouldn't it be good to come in and someone, Brother Keith, come up to you and said, let me tell you about a guy I witnessed to today, and he got born again. I mean, he got saved by the grace of God. But we very seldom hear that, and I'm going to just be honest with you, the reason we're not hearing about that is because we're not doing it. We're not soul winning like we should. And I'm not into this easy believism. You know that. I'm not going to pull no profession out of somebody. Hey, but I tell you what, I'm preaching to myself this evening. Hey, we ought to be out spreading the good news that Jesus has died and the work is finished. And by simple faith, men, women, boys, girls can have their sins forgiven. And when we run up on that individual that God is dealing with, and I believe He will place people in our paths that He's working in their lives. Hey, the emphasis of our life and what we're doing should be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm really preaching to myself too tonight. We get so busy and caught up in hustle bustle of this world, if we're not careful, hey, we'll forget this matter of soul winning. That's a dirty word in most churches in North Georgia. They say they're not Calvinistic, but in practice they are Calvinist. They want God to do it all. They don't want to do their part. And so we see here that Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. So he stayed with them 3 weeks. That's what I understand there. 3 Sabbath days went by, and he stayed there reasoning with them. He then, verse 3 tells what he reasoned with them about. He said, opening a legend that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. He said, I'm not preaching to you fables. He said, this Jesus that I'm talking to you about, He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the one that was sent here to pay for your sins, to give His life a ransom that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Listen to verse 4. This is still the way it is. It says, some of them believed. You know, everybody's not going to believe. Everybody's not going to receive you at their door when you go out and knock on doors. If we go out in the community and visit, everybody's not happy to see you there. I mean, we go out excited sometimes. Man, we're going visiting, and about the first house we go to, we get the sap knocked out of us. Hey, they'll come by and they'll see you out there and they'll drive to the end of the cul-de-sac, won't even go to their house. They're watching. They say, that strange bunch there. They're out here pushing their religion. And actually, what we're pushing is Jesus. We're pushing the answer to this world's problem, this world's need, and it's Jesus. We need a good president, but that ain't what we need most of all. Hey, we need Jesus. We need Jesus in the church. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to be real in our lives. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude of the chief women, not a few, said they were a bunch of them. They were a bunch of them that believed. But the Jews, here you always got this crowd of traditionalists, they don't want you. By the way, you know, that's the crowd that don't want you witness, don't like that word soul winning, don't like for you to go out. That's them traditionalists. I'm not saying they're not saved, but they're traditionalists. They think God can get it done. I've heard them say this. Can you believe this? I've heard them say, y'all watch them. Don't get that Bible down there and read them up. Well, you know, I know the Holy Ghost has got to get them up. Now, you think I've heard this. My wife can vouch for this. There's a lot of churches that believe somebody comes to the altar, you ought not get a Bible down there and show them. Bible says, I believe it said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. Sometimes people need to see. They need to see that Romans 6:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, for there's none righteous. For they've all gone out of the way. They need to see that Romans 5:12. Wherefore by sin entered the world by one man, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. They need to see that Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing wrong with getting the Word of God down in the altar and showing someone how to get saved if they don't know how. Now, I think they need to be ready, and I think they need, if they've come and they realize that they're a sinner, they're ready to get saved. If the Holy Ghost is dealing with their heart, and we can't read them up, and we can't get them up, well, let God do the work and let the Holy Ghost work in their hearts. He'll take the Word of God, and He'll work it in them, and He'll give them the assurance that they're lost and they're on their way to hell and that they need to get saved. A lot of people don't want you to. Just like a lot of situations, people say, I don't care what the Bible says. We've always done it this way, and we're going to do it. Well, the church ought to be ordered by the Word of God. It don't matter what I think or what you think if it don't line up the Word of God. Now, I think there's some things that we do, if it's according to the Word of God, it might not have a verse in a chapter, but it's probably the principle is being taught in the Word of God, then there's nothing wrong with doing that. But just because it's tradition? Can I say this? Don't let this out that I said it. But conference is not in the Bible, really. It's not in the Bible. But it's a lot of churches' gods. They wouldn't change a light bulb without running it through conference. They wouldn't go out and buy no landscape materials without running it through conference first. I say if you need to do it, do it. Just keep a record of it so nobody accuses you of embezzling or whatever, you know. Just keep good records. If you write a check, have a good record of it. Some things need to be run through a business meeting. I understand that, and that's good and well. But we don't have to do it every month at a certain time. That's tradition. Now, it's Baptist tradition, and there's nothing wrong with tradition per se. And if that's the way churches are indigenous, they're autonomous, and if they want to do it that way, then that's okay. But just because we don't do it exactly that way don't mean we're wrong. Verse 5 said, but the Jews which believed not moved with envy. That's the problem, is envy, is jealousy. When people begin to see God doing something, and they're losing ground. They were losing ground here is what it was. Paul come preaching the truth. And you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. With envy took unto them certain lewd fellers of the baser sort. I've seen a lot of them in Baptist church. These guys got to be Baptists. I don't know much about Methodist, Pentecostal, but I know a lot about Baptists. And these guys got to be Baptists. And gathered a company. A click. And set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found... You know, wouldn't it be good for us to get the city in uproar about Jesus? Get people so stirred up that they would get in an uproar. Why? Because of simply preaching the truth. You go to preaching truth, it'll upset people sometimes. Well, we don't do it that way. We ain't never heard it that way. Well, maybe you ain't had truth preached to you yet. Whom Jason, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither to also. It'd be a blessing to turn this town upside down. A little less. What? Wait a minute. I'm trying to think of what I'm saying. I can't think of the word. It'd be good to turn this town upside down, even though we can't turn the world upside down. We might not turn the world upside down, but they had turned the world upside down at this time. So they've come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. I'm glad there is another king, aren't you? Hey, and he's coming again one of these days. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So here we see he come over to Berea, and this bunch of believers here, these people that believe, hey, they searched the scripture. If you got any questions, just get in the Bible. You know? Get in the Bible and ask the Holy Ghost to show you if someone's teaching wrong. If you think someone's teaching wrong, just like some of these televangelists, just get in the Bible, see if it lines up. This health and wealth stuff is not Bible. I believe the last time I read, the Bible said, all that live godly in this world shall suffer persecution. I mean, just because you're saved don't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory all the time. There's going to be problems in this life. You're not always going to have a pocket full of money. I'll tell you what, you sit down and you don't work, you won't have no money. That's what Paul dealt with some of these believers over in Thessalonica. Some of them had just quit work. They was waiting on, they thought the Lord was coming at any moment. They just quit their jobs and were going around busybodies. And that's when Paul told them, said, if they won't work, they won't eat. If you're going to have anything, you've got to work. And if you'll work and God blesses you, if you'll give it back to Him, you'll take and tithe what He gives you back, then I believe the Lord's blessings will be on you. I'm like David. I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. We may get in bad shape, Brother Allen, before we get out of this place, but me and my wife have always been blessed. We've always worked. Number one, we worked. Number two, we gave back. And number three, God is blessed. It may not be in material blessings. It may be spiritual blessings. But I'm going to tell you, God will bless you. But everything's not going to always be hunky-dory. Hey, the kids ain't going to always do right what you think they ought to sometimes. Now, a lot of that's our problem, too. That's where we fail. The Bible does say train up a child in the way to go, and when it's old, and not depart from it. I believe if you'll carry them to church, and they'll see you serving God, and they'll see you praying, they'll see you reading the Bible. If you'll start with them when they're little, and you'll put that in them, and they see mom and daddy's honest before God, and that mom and daddy's reading the Bible, and mom and daddy's going to church, and it's right. They see mom and daddy giving, and not living a double lifestyle. Sometimes people go to church and act like everything's okay, and they get home, they're fussing, fighting, they're always doing this and doing that. Hey, they won't pay their bills. I believe people all pay their bills. If you got debt, you ought to pay your bills. It ain't never right to bankrupt. Can I just go on record and say it's not never right to bankrupt? If you made an honest debt, you ought to pay that debt. And a lot of church members, they think, well, I'll get so over. Well, you shouldn't have got in debt like that. Bible's against debt. Hey, I'm a Bible preacher and I'm preaching. You don't stay on top. Don't get in debt. These little bills, me and my wife's talking about the other day, these little bills, they'll wear you out. You get a credit card, they'll give you a credit card. They give these 18-year-olds credit cards sometimes, and then they wonder why they don't pay them back. I mean, they got plastic, and they run it up to the limit, and then they can't pay it back. And then they're paying $50 here, $50 there, and they never get that thing. And when they get married and they get grandkids, they're still paying on that debt. How'd I get on that? Anyway, search the Scriptures. That's what these Bereans done. Paul come teaching something that they hadn't heard. They heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. And these Jews that there, no doubt, they began to search the Scriptures. They knew that there was one coming, that the Messiah was coming. They were looking for a great deliverer. They wasn't looking for the meek and lowly Jesus. They wasn't looking for one that was going to be crucified and not deliver them from the oppression of the Roman government. But these Bereans, they searched the Scriptures. They knew. If they could read Isaiah 53, they knew that there was a lamb coming. They knew that there was one going to be born of a virgin. They knew these things. But when Paul come preaching it, then some of them got huffy. They didn't believe him. That's why he got thrown out of a lot of places. Therefore, many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. There's another. There was a good many of them believed. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So here we see the beginning of the church of Thessalonica, how Paul went in. He reasoned for 3 Sabbath days. There was a multitude of people believed. And that's where that church started. And we see that these Jews, they got stirred up about that, some of them. They were losing ground there. And they seen what was happening. So we see the kind of church that Paul left here at Thessalonica, that wicked city. It was a wicked city. But then we see the characteristics of the church. When we look at these people, we ought to examine our lives and see, ask our own selves, am I helping to make my churches a model church in the Lord like these Thessalonians did? Look at how they were. What I smell. Let's look at a few things about these people. Number one, they were elect people, verses 1 through 5. We find Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. You know, Paul, when he traveled, he'd carry men with him. He didn't go places by himself. You know, the Bible talks about sending them out by twos. When you go visiting, you ought to always go out by twos. You ought not never go by yourself. Don't put yourself in a compromising situation when you go knocking on doors. Have someone with you. I told men that before at Zion Hills. Don't go out by yourself. I had one individual, he was bad to go out. He just had a burden for souls. He wanted to go visiting. If somebody wouldn't go with him, he'd go by himself, man. He was going to go. But it's better if you go with two. Then if you run into a situation where you can witness, then someone can run interference. If a kid's around, you can occupy them, or you can talk to someone else if the door opens and you get to witness. But let me say, number one, they were elect people. There are verses 1 through 5. Paul said, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you. Verse 3 said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. So we see that they were elect people. They were a part of the church, the ecclesia, the called out assembly. These were people that Paul had preached to, and a lot of them had trusted Jesus as their Savior, and they'd gotten saved. This doctrine of election, it gets people all fouled up sometimes. I believe that doctrine of election is a misunderstood doctrine many times. There's some groups, they teach that certain people were elected to hell and some elected to heaven. I believe that we that are saved tonight are the elect. I believe that God elected us in Christ before the foundations of the world. I believe He knew every individual. And He chose us in Christ. He chose those that would believe, those that would place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose those to be saved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, according as He had chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Then He goes on, verse 5 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. I like that saying. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He chose and He foreordained before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would come into this world. He looked down, He seen Calvary. He seen Adam and Eve before He ever placed them in the Garden of Eden. He knew they was going to sin. And He looked down there and He prepared a place for Jesus Christ, and then He chose us, the elect, those that would believe and trust Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We're the elect tonight. He never elected no one to go to hell. I've heard election preached in another aspect that it was Jewish, that the elect and the children of Israel are the elect of God. But I believe here in this passage of Scripture, and they say that election has nothing to do with the church or with individuals that of this day and hour, but those that are saved are the elect. He's elected us into salvation that'll believe. I know what it is I smell. I smell popcorn. They shouldn't do you that way. God in His foreknowledge knows everything and everyone. He knows who will be saved and who won't. That has no bearing on who will accept Christ and who will reject Christ. No bearing whatsoever. He just knows all things. He give man a free will, a free choice. Election is the effective will of God being brought to pass by those who hear the gospel and receive it by grace through faith because of what God has already determined, that all that will believe shall be saved. I like that John 6:37. I studied this out. I studied this out way back young because I wanted to know. I've been in Calvinistic preaching churches, and there's a lot of truth to some things, but I'm going to tell you, hey, there's got to be a balance with this thing of the foreknowledge and predestination, and rightly divide it, comparing Scripture with Scripture. I like that John 6:37 where it says, all that the Father give me shall come to me. That's God's part. And him that will come, cometh to me, I will no wise cast out. That's man's part. It takes both, friend. God has to deal, God has to draw, and God gives, and God draws, and shows man that he's a sinner, but it takes a person to come. That church at Thessalonica was, they were elect people. And the people in our church today, they're elect people. They're people that have saved. They're people that have taken their place as a sinner. They've called on Jesus. They've received Him as their Savior and asked for the forgiveness of sin and have been born again and placed in the body of Christ. They're elect. We're elect. We see the evidence of salvation there. Verse 3 said, remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. So we see the work of faith is a evidence of salvation. Unsaved people live for themselves, but true believers are willing to toil because of love. He has a new motive. So we see that work of faith is the evidence of salvation. And labor of love. We labor because we've experienced the love of God in our hearts. And because we've experienced the love of God, then we love others. We want to see others saved. Hey, we want to see people come to the church. We want to see people walk the aisle and trust Jesus as their Savior. And then not only the evidence of salvation is a work of faith and labor of love, but patience of hope. I'm glad there in verse 3 he said, the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. That word hope, I believe, if I remember, I looked that up back yonder, and I believe that means an earnest expectation. Peter writes about looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote over in Titus looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we see an evidence of salvation is that patience of hope. We're patient. We're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that it could be at any moment. It could be tonight before we get out of here. What time is it? Well, I done spent too much time on that other. Can I say not only they were elect people, but they were exemplary people. There in verses 6 to 7. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So we see here they were exemplary people. They were followers of the Apostle Paul. They were followers of him as he taught them what had happened to them, how they were supposed to live, what they were supposed to do. So we see they were exemplary people, and it went out before them. I mean, because of their life and the change of life, they had turned from idols to serve the living God. I mean, and that example went out, and people seen that difference. So they were exemplary people. They were followers. You know, people that's really saved and won't do right, they'll be followers. Not just of man, but of those that are leading them in the right direction. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of the Lord Jesus Christ." He wasn't telling them to follow him because he was Paul, the great apostle Paul. He was telling them to follow him because he was following Jesus. I can't expect people to follow me if I'm not leading in the right way and I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm trying to follow this Bible. They were followers. They were faithful. There in verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. We see they were faithful to the word. Can I say the word of God produces faith? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you believed, you heard the word of God. You were convicted by the Bible, and you acted upon that, and you believed it, and you placed your faith. But then after you're saved, faith still comes by hearing. Your faith is strengthened and built as we learn more about Jesus, about the Bible, about the church, about what God expects for us. So we see the Word produces saving faith. Hey, it produces submitting faith. Can I say not only the Word produces faith, but the Word produces joy. It produces sustaining faith. Faith that lasts. Faith that is passed down. And then the Word produces joy. Acts chapter 8. Let's go over there and look real quick. I'm going to hurry through this. I won't spend a whole lot of time. Acts 8 and verse 8. The Bible says, "And there was great joy in that city when they believed, after Philip had preached the gospel to them." Verse 39. The Bible says, "When they were come up and out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." He placed his faith in Christ. He was saved, and then he had great joy. He went away rejoicing. So we see the Word produces joy. They were exemplary people. Can I say number three? They were excited people. Verse 8. It said, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." So we see they were excited people. They were excited about the message. Hey, they were witnesses. They witnessed by their walk there in verse 7, by their examples, as they the Lord had changed their life. He had changed them from a life of idolatry, a lot of these Gentiles, to a life of believing and a life of faith. They were excited about the message. They witnessed by their walk. They witnessed by their talk sounded out. There in verse 7. That verb sounded out has the idea of blowing a trumpet. While they waited for the trumpet, they were trumpeting the gospel. They were sounding out. When God saves somebody, it'll change their speech. It'll change what they talk about. It'll change their walk, the way they were walking. It'll put them in new directions. Then let me say, not only they were exemplary, they were elect, they were excited, but they were, number four, they were an expecting people, verses 9 through 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we see they were expecting people. We see the proof of their expectation there. In verse 9, they turned to God from idols. Hey, they waited for the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Can I say God proved Christ was His Son by raising Him from the dead? Acts chapter 17, verse 22-34. Hey, God proved to us that. There's a record of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, He was seen of Peter, He was seen of the apostles, and then He was seen of over 500 brethren at one time. We know that He was raised from the dead. So we see the proof that God raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead was His Son. So we see they were expecting people. They were looking for Jesus to come. And you read this whole book, and we'll look at some more of it maybe. Maybe we'll go on into it next week. We'll just have to see. But anyway, they were expecting people. What a church this was at Thessalonica. Paul went in and preached. God did a great work. And that work started there. And people began to get saved. The gospel began to go out. You know, that's what God wants us to do. Us that are saved, He wants us to get outside these walls. It's good to come to church and worship, sing these old songs of praise, study the Word of God. But then God wants us to take what we've learned. He wants us to go out in the highways and hedges, compel people to come in, witness to people, and to support missions. And I'm glad we started Sunday night getting involved in missions. That's just the first. The best is yet to come. I'm glad that we can be involved. And we can sound out the trumpet from the walls of Open Door Baptist Church. God bless you for coming tonight.